Morning. You can be seated. Good to see you today. Is that on? John's going to kill me later. He hates doing that song. I appreciate you guys filling in for me. It's great to see you guys today. It's a privilege to be here today. Glad you joined us for worship this morning. One of my favorite verses in all of Scripture is 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. You don't have to turn there. I'm just going to tell you what it is real fast. 2 Corinthians 12, 9 says this: "For God's grace is sufficient for me, for his power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me." I share that verse with you today because of this. A few weeks ago, Father Chuck asked me to fill in for him. Father Bill filled in last week, and I'm filling in this week while Father Chuck and Sandy are on vacation. I'm sure they're going to watch later or listen, so everybody can turn around and say hi to them. But I kind of feel like when he asked me to preach, I kind of feel like he wanted to test that verse out and see if it actually works, see if it's actually true. Because I am weak, really, really, just physically weak. Most of you know that I spend the summers leading worship at a camp outside of Huntsville, Texas. Just finished up my summer yesterday. This summer was particularly awesome because I got to take, y'all know Caleb Gunther of the Gunther family and Macy Wheelock. They got to travel with me this summer and lead worship with me at this camp. And it was just fantastic. That's us up there. Now, we dress a little different for camp. You got to be a little bit more casual when you're hanging out with a bunch of hundreds in middle school and high school kids, too. And I just want to show you just a short clip of some of the energy that is at that camp. We worship a little bit more, just a tiny bit differently there than we do. Will you roll that, Aubrey? I wish y'all could see it. Anyways, okay, I show you that for a couple of reasons. Number one, because that's one less minute I have to preach right there. Number two, just to give you an idea of some of the energy and the fun. If you're expecting me to jump like that at the end of this service, that was it. That was all I had right there. I'm not jumping. But we had a great summer. I actually finished up my summer yesterday. I finished our last camp yesterday morning, got home last night. My summer started almost 3 months ago to the day on May 14th, and just because I really like numbers and statistics, I think that's the sports fan in me, I was just curious. I was thinking to myself, you know what, I wonder how many worship services I've led over the summer, you know, including church and camp and whatever, and I'm really OCD with my schedule, so I keep track of things really well, so I just added it up. And for the past 90 days, including here at church and at camp, I've led 153 worship services. So this would... No, you don't have to clap. That's not... You should be saying, what, are you crazy? So this is one. This would be one. So imagine doing this 152 more times over the last 90 days, and you'll get a little bit of idea of where I'm at. So the reason I tell you that is this. It's not to boast in myself in any way whatsoever. That's why I say don't clap for me. Actually, I'm going back to that verse in 2 Corinthians. I'm boasting in my weakness. I am on fumes. I am absolutely on fumes. So I'm telling you today, if anything good comes out of me today, you can be guaranteed it is from the Lord. And yeah, if I babble incoherently like I'm doing right now, it's just because I really haven't taken a nap since like April. So... I just want you guys to know that. But here, we'll get through this today. Here's my promise to you. I promise to do my best to not fall asleep if you don't, okay? But if I look out there and see one of you jokers taking a nap, All bets are off. I'm taking off. And if I happen to pass out, just move me over to the side and keep on going with the service, okay? That's all it is. All joking aside, here's what I want you to do. Take out your Bible, and I'd like to look at our New Testament passage we read in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11. I'm going to start in verse 1. As you're turning there, I want to tell you a little bit about this chapter. If you're familiar with this, this is called like the chapter of faith, or some people call it the hall of faith. It's a chapter full of God's promises to people and how they modeled that faith in action. God laid out promises. These characters that we're going to read about believed in these promises. And some of them, they had to wait a really long time to see these promises fulfilled. Some of them never even saw these promises fulfilled in their lifetime. But I believe that as we study this today, this chapter could be some great encouragement, maybe some insight regarding our own faith today. But before we get started, let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for just this time that we can gather to worship together. And thank you for your word. Thank you for the faith that you give us. Pray that you would grow our faith today. And where I'm weak, would you be strong today? We pray this in Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's look at Hebrews chapter 11, starting in verse 1. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. All right, let's stop there for just a second. I really like how the author of Hebrews, as he starts out, some people say the author of Hebrews might be Paul. A lot of people disagree on that. We're just going to call him the author of Hebrews for today. Doesn't really matter. But I really appreciate how the author here, he's going to talk about faith. He's going to explain it, but he starts with just giving a little definition of what faith is. The assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And I think we all probably might have our own definition of faith, right? If I asked you to define faith, we all might kind of define it a little bit differently. I know the world defines faith differently. I think if we all just took a field trip to downtown New Braunfels after church and just walked around and asked people, hey, tell me about the word faith. What does that mean to you? You might get a lot of different answers, right? I think we could look at faith as a belief in something. Like you might say the Christian faith, the Jewish faith, the Muslim faith. That's one way to put it. The word faith could also indicate like a promise or a commitment to another person, right? Like, I'm faithful to my spouse. It's another way to look at it. We could also define faith as having confidence or trust in another person or their abilities. When I was a kid, I played a lot of sports, particularly basketball. And if I ever had a teammate who was struggling and they just weren't making their shots, I would take it upon myself to just go up there and encourage them and just say, hey, I believe in you. Keep shooting, keep shooting. You're going to make it. You're going to make this next shot. I have faith in you. I have faith in you, confidence in your abilities. Unless, of course, I was playing against my brother, and then I would just say, oh, you're going to keep missing. Yeah, you're going to keep missing. That's how you have to treat your brothers. But in verse 1, the author here gives us a really unique and different definition of faith. Now, keep in mind the word faith is used differently in different places in the Bible. Just like the word love, right? There's different definitions of love. There's phileo love and agape love. You know, they're all different forms of love. Kind of the same thing with faith here. There's different definitions of it throughout the Bible. Here, the assurance of things hoped for, convictions of things not seen. Now, I know that at Christ Our King, we typically use the ESV version of the Bible. That's the one that's tucked up under your seat. Right there. You may bring your own translation. That's a good translation. It really is. But in this particular instance, a word that would be better or closer to the Greek of the word faith is actually the word reality. Reality. Faith is the reality of things hoped for. Look at that. Look at that phrase there, things hoped for. What are these things hoped for? As I was studying, I kept coming back to that phrase, things hoped for. What was that author talking about there? What do we hope for? I know what I hope for. I have three daughters. I hope those girls marry godly men. That's a good thing to hope for, right? But is it possible that they might not? Yeah, it is. I hope that I live a really long and healthy life. It's a good thing to strive for. But I'm not promised tomorrow. So what is this hope talking about? Is this faith talking about things that we hope for? No, it's actually talking about the promises of God. These next few verses, we're going to read some accounts of God's promises to certain people in the Bible here, and the faith that they had that God would fulfill those promises. Now today, we read God's word, we see where he's fulfilled promises. And that's part of what faith is. That's part of what this assurance in him is, this inner conviction that God is going to fulfill all his promises. But I believe there's even more to it than that. Now, I just said that one of the words for faith is the word reality. There's another translation, the King James, that actually uses the word substance. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now, I'm not going to ask you when the last time you took a science class was, but let me help you. Substance, what is substance? Substance is something you can feel and touch and hold, right? Well, that's kind of confusing. How can faith be something that I can grab hold of, but also yet still something unseen? How do we reconcile that? Well, faith isn't just believing that I will experience God someday in the future. Faith, that's part of it, yeah, but faith is actually saying, man, I can experience God in the here and now. Let me give you an example. I want you to pretend that you're in the desert. You saw that picture up there, Aubrey? Pretend you are in the West Texas desert. It's the middle of August, like it is right now. It's 1.5 million degrees outside, like it is right now. It's not really that hard to imagine, right? You could go to the West Texas desert, or you could go to our parking lot at like 12:30. It's the same, right? It's hot. All right, here's what I want you to do. Pretend you're in this desert. You're all alone. You're all by yourself. Totally isolated. You're wandering in this desert. Sun is just beating down on you, sweating, you're getting weary. And all you are longing for is just a drink of water. Just a drink of water. Man, if you could just get just a little bit, you could probably press on, make it to the goal. Well, then all of a sudden you see a big sign. And this sign says, ice cold water, 1 mile ahead. Well, man, that would give you some relief, right? That would give you a little bit of hope, right? Would it not? Should we follow the sign? How would you know if you follow that sign that it's really going to lead you to water? I mean, it sounds good. It sounds encouraging. But how could we trust that? Well, then imagine that under that big sign is a small little box. And this box has a sign on it, and it says, faith, the substance of things hoped for. You open the box, and inside of the box is one small little bottle of ice cold water. And it says, enjoy, and let this give you assurance that there's much more water ahead. I know that's a really simple illustration, but that's faith. That's faith in God. That's faith in both his promises for the future, and that's a faith that we can actually experience in the here and now. Man, I hope that you've tasted God and seen that he's real in the here and now. I hope you've experienced that. Let's look at verse 2. For by it, by faith, the people of old received their commendation. The people of old. Now, that doesn't mean old people, okay? What that's saying is ancestors of the faith, people who have walked with the Lord and who have matured in their faith. People have grown and followed him. We're going to read about them in the next few verses. People like Abraham and Moses and Noah and Jacob, Abel. Actually, let's read about them right now. Look at verse 3. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. By faith, think about that phrase. That phrase is going to come back a lot in this chapter. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death. And he was not found because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. So we see these people of God obey and trust in him by faith. By faith. Back in verse 2, if you look, it tells us by faith, for by it, they received their commendation. Don't feel bad, Ross. I struggled with that word too. As I was studying it, I was like, wait, condemnation? No, say commendation. what is this commendation? What is this recognition by God? Well, understand this. It's not commendation by the world. Noah really wasn't revered among the people around his time, right? If you remember the story, quite the opposite. Man, they just ridiculed him. You're building a what? A boat? Man, you big dummy. He did not receive commendation or recognition from the people around him. You know, I wonder how often you and I struggle with just really desiring recognition and commendation by the world's standards. I mean, it feels good to be recognized, right? You know, it feels good to get an award at your job or whatever, or to be commended for doing a great job. Feels good, right? We all long for that. But no matter what accolades we receive in this life, in this world, man, none of that is going to stack up or compare to what God can offer us. Don't long for that. In Hebrews here, it says their commendation came from God. This commendation was forgiveness. This commendation was being received by him. But not just that. It said their very lives pleased God. Look at verse 6. Their lives of faith brought pleasure to him. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. You know what I really like about this? God was not impressed with the abilities of these characters here in this story. When I think about our church, man, we have some incredibly talented people just across the board. We have people talented in constructing and building things. We have people talented in the arts and drama and theater and dance and music. We have people gifted in business and finance, people in leadership development. Just, we have an incredibly talented church. God has given you guys wonderful gifts. But do you think that those gifts impress God? I mean, we can impress each other. I look at the things that y'all can do and I'm impressed. But do we sometimes think we're going to impress God with our gifts? I'm sure none of y'all struggle with that, but I do. I have that mindset sometimes. God, watch this. Watch this, what I'm going to do. Watch what I can do with this instrument. And then that's usually when I mess up really bad, what happens. Why do we think that we can impress God Almighty, the person who gave us those gifts? Right? I don't think God was that impressed with Noah's construction skills. I don't think he was. I don't think God was very impressed with Moses' internal GPS and his navigational skills to get the Israelites out of Egypt. So God was the one doing the work anyways. But I think that sometimes we struggle with that, that we look at these gifts as our own. On the flip side of that, you know what? You might be in here today and you might feel the opposite. You might feel like, man, I don't know what my gifts are. I don't have any good gifts to offer the Lord. If that's you today and you struggle with that, can I just tell you, man, stop that. Don't think like that. God has given each one of us incredible gifts in order to serve him. I want to tell you this too. The church is not supposed to be a place of competition. Don't look around at other people and long for their gift. Just be happy with what the gift that God has given you. Let's not turn this into a competition to see who can use their gifts better. It's not really what it's about. It's not God's call for us. Body of Christ isn't supposed to do that. So let's not do that either by exalting our own gifts or coveting other people's gifts. It's a life of faith that pleases him, not those gifts. Let's look at the rest of these verses here, picking up at verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this, he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. And we could probably put a whole sermon just on this verse here. As I was studying this passage, like these verses 1 through 16, I was like, there's so many good verses here. We could unpack all of these for days. This verse right here, we could spend a whole sermon on discussing whether, you know, the ark as an instrument of salvation and how it's kind of like representative of Jesus and the foreshadowing of the Messiah. But for time's sake, we won't do that. I just want you to look at the back half of verse 7. Noah became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. So we're made righteous by our faith. Do you know what that word righteous means? It means right standing. Our standing before God. Right now, in our sin, we're guilty before God. It's like we're standing before a judge at the courthouse. And until we're made clean or made right, we're guilty. Our faith in him changes that. Changes our standing with him. There's so much more in these verses. We're just not going to get through them all. But here's what I want to do. I'm going to pick out a few select verses, and I'm going to read them. I just want you to follow along really quickly, if you can. Follow along as best you can. Verse 8, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. Verse 9, by faith, he went to live in the land of promise. Verse 11, by faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Verse 17, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. Verse 20, by faith, Isaac invoked future blessings on Jacob and Esau. Verse 21, by faith, Jacob, when dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph. Verse 22, by faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the exodus of the Israelites. Verse 23, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict. And verse 24, by faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. My question to you today is simply this. What are you doing by faith? What are you doing by faith? If somebody took your name and we put it in one of those verses, by faith, Tom, dot, dot, dot. By faith, Rachel, dot, dot, dot. How would that sentence finish out? Think about that, really. It's a good time for me to get a drink of water while you're thinking of that. By faith, how would that sentence finish for you? What is God calling you to believe in? What promises is he calling you to trust in? What step of faith is he challenging you to take? Come on, Denby. I'm not Moses. I'm not Abraham. I'm not Noah. I'm not Sarah. I'm not any of those superheroes from the Bible. Can't expect me to take those kind of steps of faith. If that's your thinking today, you know what I have to say to that? If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you actually have the Holy Spirit inside of you, something that they didn't. So you have more. You are more adequately prepared to take a big step of faith. So again, I tell you, I ask you, what are you doing by faith? What's your excuse? Let me help you out a little bit today. I believe there's two main areas of faith that God is calling us to step out in or desiring for us to take. Number one is this. It's simply to put your faith and trust in him, both for salvation and for sanctification. That's for everybody. I'm really privileged and honored to be here. Anytime Father Chuck asks me to preach, I'm just blessed to get to do so. And every time I stand up here, I will never just assume that every person in this building or everybody listening or watching online, I will never just assume that every person has a relationship with Jesus Christ. You came to church today. I'm so glad that you did. But coming to church does not put you in a right relationship with Jesus Christ. The only thing that does that is by placing your faith and trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. It's by believing that he's the Son of God, that he died for your sins, and that he rose again. By you saying, yeah, I'm a sinner. God, I need you. That's number one for everybody. That's salvation. Everybody has to take that step. Number two is sanctification. If you're in here today, I don't care if you're 9 years old or if you're 90, and I'm not going to point at anybody. I don't care how old you are. If there is breath in your lungs today, then you're supposed to look a little bit more like Jesus today than you did yesterday. That's called sanctification. That's called growing in Christ. So salvation and sanctification, that's for everybody. The other part of that is this. The second area of faith was a little bit more open-ended. I think, for all of us. It's a little bit more situational and conditional. I think it involves studying God's word and praying and just saying, okay, God, how do you want me to use these gifts for you? What kind of step of faith are you wanting me to take? How do you want me to trust you and serve you? Let me give you an example. 10 years ago, my wife Stephanie and I felt like God was calling us to open up our house to a variety of different people. People who were broken, people who had been wounded by the church, ministers on the verge of burnout, people who had been divorced and just kind of outcast, homeless people, people who were addicted to things, you name it, they've probably been in our house. And we just felt like God said, hey, I want you to love those people and invite them into your house. Now, when he told us that, we didn't have a 10-year plan or what that was going to look like. We didn't know how we were going to pay for it. We didn't really know anything of how it was all going to happen. We just know that he said, hey, I need you to do this. And so we just were like, okay. And so we just took a step of faith. Now, I'm not saying that's what you have to do. You don't need to do the exact same thing that we do. But what is God calling you to do by faith? How is he asking you to use your gifts? We don't all have to build an ark. We don't all have to lead the Israelites out of Egypt. We don't all have to do something big. God might be calling you to do something small and simple. We need all those things in the body of Christ. I think for some of us, God just might be calling us to show some love to people who maybe we don't love. Maybe he's calling you to invite that neighbor over for dinner who voted differently than you did. Maybe instead of getting in arguments on Facebook, maybe we should just invite those people over for supper. If you can't say amen, you might want to say ouch. I think it's a different call for each of us, what God is calling us to do, but it's the Great Commission. How am I going to play my part in fulfilling the Great Commission and living this out? How am I going to do that? I think for some of you in here, I know for some of you, I had somebody in the early service come and tell me this. For some of us, God might already have put something before you, and you might be wrestling with it. Like, okay, I feel like God has given me maybe this idea or this thing to do, but how do I know if it's really from the Lord? Well, I'm going to give you 3 simple questions that you can ask yourself. If this thing that God has put before you, if it's really from him, here's 3 simple ways you can know. Number 1, does it match up with Scripture? Is it in line with his word? If it violates his word, then I can promise you it's not from him. Number 2, does it meet a need? Is it just kind of a cool idea? Or does it actually meet a need in somebody else's life? And number 3, do others confirm and affirm that gift within me? Can I go up to other mature believers in Christ and say, hey, I feel like God's called me to do this. You think I could do this? You see that gift in me? Let's get wisdom from others. If you can answer yes to those 3 questions, then God might be calling you to do that thing, whatever he's put in your heart. This chapter of faith in Hebrews 11, it's often called the Hall of Faith. And I like sports, and I like, you know, the Hall of Fame with football and basketball and baseball and all those kinds of things. And sometimes I've seen that tagline put on this chapter, the Hall of Faith. And here's all these amazing people. You know what? These people did some amazing things. And it'd be easy for us to look at that and say, well, I'm never going to build an ark. I'm never going to lead 2 million people out of Egypt. I'm never going to have a baby at 90 years old. Well, guess what? I don't think God's calling any of us to do any of that. Okay, so take a load off, all you 90-year-olds. hey, it happened. It did happen. I'm not the Holy Spirit, but I'm pretty sure he's not calling any of us to do those things. I think a better way for us to look at this chapter would be to say, you know what? If Moses can do that, I can do that. And here's what I mean by that. These characters that we read about in Hebrews 11, they did some incredible things for the Lord. They were also some pretty messed up people. Moses killed a man out of anger. Noah, even after he took a step of faith and built the ark, after that, man, he got drunk and put himself in a really bad situation. Sarah basically laughed at God and mocked him for his plan. I think a better mindset for us would be, you know what? If Abraham can do that, I can do that. I have the Holy Spirit inside of me. If Moses can do that, if Noah can do that, if Sarah can do that, I can do that. I can do that. That's my encouragement to you today is, how are you living by faith? Have you actively prayed and sought out, okay, God, how are you asking me to live out this faith in my life? Am I just filling up space? Am I just content to be right where I'm at in my faith with you? Or am I growing? Maybe for some of us, maybe it's taking that step and putting our faith and trust in him for the very first time. Wherever you're at today, I pray that you would be moved and encouraged by the Lord to take a step of faith, whether it's a first step, whether it's a continual growth in him, or maybe it's a huge step just to jump out and do something that he's called you to do. Let's pray together today. Lord, thanks for this chapter and just how it challenges and encourages me. And I thank you for these characters here that you called to take bold steps and how we can look at them and be challenged yet also encouraged. Then with your Holy Spirit, God, we can do great things for your kingdom. God, I thank you for each person that's here today. I pray that if anybody's here and they don't know you, Lord, they place their faith and trust in you. I pray for those of us who do know you, God, we would actively seek to grow our relationship with you. And we'd look more like you tomorrow than we do today. And God, if there's anybody in here today who you're calling to take a step out in faith and maybe do something bold, confirm that in them today. Would you just continue to move throughout the rest of this service? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.